Welcome, everyone joining us here tonight on the Kings County Radio Club's Technical Question and Answer Net. My name is Roy. My call sign is AC2GS, and I will be your net control operator for this informal net. I will be your host, and Bob KD2NVB will be my co-host on this exploration into amateur radio technology. The purpose of this net is to provide a platform for discussion and to offer our answers, as well as promote a conversation among all participants of this net. The club maintains an archive of these technical nets on its web pages. We also offer original articles and reviews on many subjects that are covered during these top technical nets. We also publish technical puzzles for our participants to ponder and as a starting off point to discuss important technical concepts. Tonight's TechNet puzzle is posted on our club's website. The link can be found on the front page of our website in orange color type, but if you would like a simple URL to find it, just type into your browser puzzle.kc2rc.com. Also, we will be offering a streaming service for those who cannot receive our repeater signal. Just point your browser to stream.kc2rc.com. And we also have an Echo Link node available for use. Just point your Echo Link application to the node KC2RC-R. The net is scheduled for the second and fourth Wednesday of each and every month. And all of this information can also be found on our club website, which is www.kc2rc.com. Members as well as non-members are welcome to participate, although we do appreciate it when our fellow hams join our club. And as always, an application is readily available on our club's website. No question is too simple. No question is dumb. All wisdom begins with the asking of questions. If you have a question, it deserves to be answered. Our format tonight will be to ask for participants to check in only if they have questions or comments for this net. Please give us your first name, your call sign, whether you have a question or a comment. The net will then address each question in order. I will try to provide a cogent answer, and Bob, KD2NVB, will join in as well. If any other listener has any further facts or opinions, they will be free to break in with a word comment, and when recognized, offer their knowledge or experiences to us all. If anyone has any questions for future topics, have any suggestions for future topics of interest, please let us know either here on the technical net or use our email address, which is tech@kc2rc.com. And now I would like to introduce my co-host of this net, Bob KD2NVB. Good evening, Bob.
Good evening, everybody out there. Hope somebody or people are out there. Looking forward to a good net tonight. Back to you, Roy.
Okay, very good. I just have to hunt down the source of a little echo, and I'll be ready in a second. Okay, hopefully that solved that problem. I'll find out the next minute that anyone else transmits, and if I hear an echo, 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 echo. Anyway, I am AC2GS. My name is Roy. This is the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net, and we're open for business, even though it is Passover and a little bit weird doing it under these particular circumstances, and my computer has been particularly obnoxious tonight, disabling audio connections and doing all kinds of curious things that I've had to kill applications and restart them to get them to work. But nevertheless, hopefully we will be able to do a perfectly normal technical net tonight. So if there's anyone out there with any questions or comments for the tech net tonight, please hit that push talk button. Give us your first name, your call sign, whether it's a question or a comment. Gosh, maybe it's a bad day for the technical net Passover-wise for people who aren't even observing. I don't know. It looks like I probably shouldn't have gone to the trouble of rebooting all kinds of things to get this to work. But nevertheless, I did, and so we'll give it a go. If anyone out there has any questions or comments for the technical net tonight, please hit that push to talk. Well, it looks like it's going to be an incredibly quiet technical net. There's no one else on the Echo Link. Either William will be joining us later, or he has other things to do. I think earlier, a couple of days ago, there was an NAB get-together. They were demonstrating a lot of interesting broadcast and audio and video gear, so maybe he took that in. Anyway, once again, I continue to be Alpha Charlie 2 Golf Sierra. Name is Roy, Romeo Oscar Yankee, and this is the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net. So once again, if anyone has any questions or topics of interest, please hit that push to talk. Tell me, Bob, what was the InfoNet last night active? I understand there was another problem. I had to reboot Echo Link for some strange reason. It made connections, and it was set to the right audio devices, but it wasn't passing them through, so I had to restart that. But otherwise, I assume they had a short and quiet InfoNet yesterday.
I'm not sure. You're asking me, Roy? I wasn't there, unfortunately, so I don't know.
Oh, okay. I was just curious if you might have been. But yeah, I was talking to you because there's no one else out there apparently. Yeah, every so often I get these very nice notes on the LimeWire technical net of people who never participate but listen, and you know they like to send me emails and they say, you know, there's other people out there that you never hear from. Just want to let you know. I don't know if that's the case for our lovely little Kings County Radio Club technical net. I'm assuming that for the most part, people who hear us talk to us. So, you know, we have a very small clientele here.
All right. I guess if no one has a question, then there's not much for the people to listen to, unfortunately. But I wish I could come up with something. I'll think. Yeah, I don't know. Hopefully, maybe William or somebody will come in a few minutes.
Yeah, well, we'll give it a couple more minutes. Like I said, I don't have my heart in it particularly tonight. I got a headache. It's Passover, which always puts me in not so great a mood. Not a big fan of matzah. So, you know, if we have a short one tonight, I won't be terribly upset.
Yeah, MVP here. I will. Well, that's one way I won't be either, because I'm getting up at 5:30 in the morning. Tomorrow's birding season, and I go on these walks on Thursday mornings. So I'm going to get to bed as soon as I can. So we'll see. See if someone comes in the next few minutes.
This is a kind of a reminiscent of the 10-meter net when Howard was handling it. There were times that the signals weren't really that, you know, traffic wasn't really happening for him, and he would come on at 11 o'clock and talk to himself for about 5-10 minutes, and then he'd say, well, I'm going to walk away for about 15-20 minutes, and I'll come back. And so it was just silence. By the way, to no one in particular except to you, Bob, I spoke with Howard's brother the last week. He gave me a call. He found, I guess, a QSL card I had given Howard, and his brother's name is Alan. He's a younger brother, and we talked for a little while, and he wanted me to convey to club members how much he appreciated, how much we cared about Howard. He read the memorial page with a lot of club members' entries on it, so I thought that was nice. I was concerned that I was never going to be able to talk to any of his relatives because I didn't have a clue who they were and where they were.
Oh, that's really nice. Does his brother live anywhere near New York, or is he somewhere in a totally different part of the country? Roy, are you there? I didn't hear you. Maybe you didn't hear me. I don't know. And I think my microphone's acting up.
Okay, I think it's triggering right now. I don't know, like I said, the computer is having an off day. Not that it had any matzah, but who knows. Saying that he seems to be relatively nearby. He visits Howard's apartment. He's cleaning it up, getting rid of a lot of stuff. He asked me about the radio equipment he wanted to give it to a nonprofit organization, so I suggested Brooklyn Tech.
What is Brooklyn Tech? I should know this. Is it a tech school or something? Or right, back to you.
It's a high school that you have to qualify to get into. At least one time or another, it had the best kind of science and technology departments. You know, it was a magnet school, so it has some very clever people. We've had a couple of kids come to our meetings once upon a time, and they have their own little amateur radio club there, and I know the guy who is kind of the coordinator / mentor for that, so that's what I suggested he look into.
Okay, so it's a high school for people that are good in that field, like sort of technology and electronics, what have you.
Yes, that would be a short form of what it is. As far as I'm aware, there's not that many high schools with amateur radio clubs anymore, and that's one of the few.
Right, most kids probably don't know what it is these days. Like, when I was a kid, I knew what it was, and probably more people knew what it was. You know, I didn't know anybody who did it, but I found it kind of interesting.
Yeah, I think it was something like 6 or 7 years ago, we had a kid from Brooklyn Tech. He didn't have his license yet, and he wasn't, I don't think he was particularly that interested in radio per se. He was interested in weather balloons and telemetry, and rather than use the public frequencies, he thought it would be nice if he could pass the exam and use amateur radio frequencies to transmit his telemetry signals back and forth.
Because he could, right? In the right place, in the right band.
Yeah, if you choose the proper frequencies within the bands, they allow for data transmissions of all kinds. You really shouldn't go to the AM band plan frequency range to do things like that. But there's more than enough areas near around the CW place where they also accept a lot of different digital data, which telemetry, I assume, qualifies as.
That's what I thought. You're probably hearing this too. My mic really seems to be acting up, like I'm plugging in, just going brum, all that stuff over and over. And so when I'm not talking, I just instantly pull the plug of my mic out of the radio. Back to you.
Yeah, I've been noticing it. I'm just hoping that as the night progresses and your radio warms up, it will slow down that thing that it seems to do when it's cooler. William, is that you? This is AC2GS with the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net. Anyone want to say hello or have any questions or have any topics?
2ZV.
William recognized. Good evening, William. How are you? Did you take in that NAB meeting that I've watched a lot on YouTube lately?
Repeat that about YouTube.
I said that I've been seeing a lot of bits of recording from a rather big NAB convention. You know, they were showing off a lot of new, shiny, expensive equipment.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot going on with NAB. I don't know. It seems like so much this year. I'm waiting for the guys from the SMPTE and the SBE to come back and give us some presentations about what it is they see, because there's so many different facets to it. What did you see?
I mean, there was a lot of different things. The people that make DaVinci Resolve showed off, had to show off at least 25 different new pieces of hardware in addition to the new beta of DaVinci. It's now up to version 19. It comes in two flavors. 2K and below is free. If you want to do 4K, you got to either buy a piece of their equipment and they give you a dongle to run it in high definition, or you can buy a license and they'll give you a dongle.
Blackmagic stuff is something else.
Yeah, it's very attractive looking. They have a great aesthetic sensibility. I mean, I have no need for 95% of it, but every so often I look at it and say, gee, that would look great in the shack.
Yeah, the master control switching consoles and things like that are fun, but I don't know. A lot of their gear people don't like, and they pay for more expensive gear than the big boys.
Well, they don't pay for it. It's a company, and the company takes it as a tax deduction. So we pay for it.
I'm not sure I know what you mean by that, but I can say that amongst the professional group of engineers, there's all these other broadcast companies that are still surviving, like Ross and stuff, that are in competition with Blackmagic at a much higher price point, and they seem to survive.
As you mentioned, they're an older company, so, you know, there used to be a line that no one got fired for buying IBM products, and it's probably the same thing for those guys. Even though it might be a little overpriced or maybe a little stodgy, your boss is usually not going to yell at you for spending money on a famous brand as opposed to some startup.
Well, it does depend a lot on the budget and who your boss is and how much money you've got. So, it's always a big compromise. Everybody's trying to do everything with what they've got.
I guess it ultimately depends on the company. I had a good friend who unfortunately became a silent key about 3-4 months ago, and he was a subcontractor on the subway communication system, and the contractor that he worked for, one of the guys just ordered every piece of equipment he ever heard of, and they must have wasted hundreds of thousands of dollars on unnecessary equipment just because that guy just filed a request and it got submitted and it got bought. And it was sitting there in the shelf and no one even, I think, opened the boxes.
Well, it's great if you have carte blanche. It seems like very poor management to me, but I can tell you everything I bought was scrutinized and it was like they squeezed the nickels and dimes. I mean, it was, when you were with a city university, they really were. It was difficult. You had to write justifications for everything you were going. It had to go up to Albany. They had to decide whether your justification was good enough. It was just a difficult problem.
I mean, education is a different thing than private enterprise. With private enterprise, a lot of times departments, if they have a budget, they feel compelled to spend their entire budget with the hope that next year they'll get a bigger budget. And the fear that if they save 10% of their budget, next year it will be cut 10%. So it's different dynamics, I think, between education. Education always gets the short end of the stick.
I think so, and I was interested in this New York Tech High School. Where is this high school located?
I'm not exactly sure. You could Google Brooklyn Tech. It's it's all over the internet. It's a famous high school. I never kind of looked into it as a kid. I went to Abraham Lincoln High School, which was nearby. I could walk to it, and they had some pretty good teachers there. So I didn't have any kind of motivation to get back on a bus or a train like I did when I traveled to junior high school when I was a few years younger.
Okay, I'll check that out. What I remember is that CUNY has a campus. They call Brooklyn Tech, which is up the street here on J Street, but I'll have to see if there's a high school also.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe you should Google it as Brooklyn Tech High School. But, we used to just call it Brooklyn Tech back in the old days. Anyway, it's nice that they one of the few places around that has an amateur radio club. And never quite understood why, because of that, I mentioned to Bob earlier, we had a visitor many years ago, about 6-7 years ago, a kid from Brooklyn Tech High School who was asking a couple of questions. He was looking to get a license so that he could use the amateur radio bands in his weather balloon telemetry experiments. Maybe at that point the club was not really as active as it had been in the past, so that's why he came to us. But he just came to us once and went away. I still remember there was another guy who he wasn't a kid. He was, I think, about 30 or 40, and one of the rudest gentlemen I could remember visiting us. At one point, it is something that someone said elicited him to guffaw and say that we're all so old. So sometimes our visitors are rather strange. Well, actually, a lot of times our visitors are strange. We had one lady come in with blue hair one time.
Well, yeah, people get to express themselves in all kinds of new ways to the next generation. I remember my son had blue hair at one point.
Yeah, whatever makes you happy, as long as it doesn't frighten the horses.
I know, blue hair might frighten the horses.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't had that much experience with horses. I don't think they really critique people much, As long as they're comfortable, they don't really give a crap.
Yeah, I think they're colorblind anyway. Yeah, I found it. It's over there by Pratt, right near the Pratt Tower. The Pratt Tower is in the picture. It's a huge building. I didn't realize. It's over near Fort Greene.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's a very nice place, and it's esteemed. There's a lot of semi-famous people who graduated there. I don't think, actually, it depends on what you want to call colorblind. Most mammals can only see two colors. Primates can see three. Birds, some insects can see four colors.
I get it. Anyway, I was just joining you guys tonight because I heard you talking about the high school and stuff, and I have an old microphone I want to give away, but nobody wants to take it. I don't know what to do with some of this old ham gear. If that's really a going thing and the kids want stuff to take apart and play with, I think it would be great to give them all the stuff.
Well, I mean, you can certainly offer it to them. I don't know, nowadays they can just kind of Google what a condenser and electrolyte a microphone looks like. You know, when I was a little kid and I was curious, and the only way I was going to know what a telephone looked like on the inside was take one apart, which Ma Bell, if they knew, would probably have had me arrested at the time. So I don't know. Yeah, I remember your microphone. It's a microphone, but the problem with microphones is they all take different. Some require electrolytes, some require condensers. They all have different connectors, and it can be a major pain in the backside. And a lot of people in the old days, it was no problem to just solder new connectors on things. But now, people don't even want to go to that trouble. So they either look for an adapter, and if that's not readily available, they just rather buy something off the shelf.
I found I could have bought an adapter, and it costs more than the microphone I'm using. So, you know, it's easier to buy the right microphone for the unit rather than buy an adapter on something I didn't even know about. So anyway, it's just sitting around with the rest of the stuff. Eventually it'll go to recycling, I think.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't have a lot of old radio stuff. I often tell people I have absolutely nothing in my house that uses vacuum tubes. My radio gear, with the exception of one thing that I picked up from an estate of a friend, everything else I own is maybe about 15 years old at most. So, you know, I haven't had the experience. But, you know, we've talked about this before where you have collected all kinds of interesting things. I have no room for it as it is. My closets are filled to the top. So, you know, if I can't fix it and if it's not worth fixing because there's better stuff out there these days, then it goes out the garbage can. That's the end of that.
Probably at that point, and, you know, it gets to be too much stuff eventually. So even though you're collecting it, you say, what for? Some things have value, some things don't. Anyway, I'm going to run along. I wanted to say hi to you guys tonight. I didn't have any tech questions. I was hoping somebody could come out there and come up with a question for you, you know, because I know how much you like to answer the questions about counterpoises and all that. But nothing yet, huh?
No, you're kind of the only guy to check in. You know, it was me and Bob and me, and then finally there was you. I mean, someone might stroll past, you never know, but it looks like it's, relatively speaking, going to be a real quiet night tonight.
D2WOT.
Hello there, Chris. How are you? I heard a little bit of a smidge of you talking on the computer net earlier.
Yeah, I come back to the desk and I put the radio on and sure enough there was a question and it had to do. Ken was asking a question about a computer that he has and I thought I might be able to be helpful, so I jumped in there.
Oh, good. You know, he deserves the activity. He's a nice guy. They send emails Tuesday before the computer net and Wednesday on the computer net. Anyone on the mailing list of LimeWire gets mailed a notice of that net. Not the other nets, but the computer net. So
yeah. Yeah, I mean they I think they have a lot more people. Like they are able to keep a little bit more active. But even so, I mean, there's not much activity on that repeater either.
It used to be a lot more active in the old days. There were a couple people, a guy from Staten Island called John and Wesley, used to chit-chat at least 4 or 5 nights a week, you know, something like 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock or some ridiculous thing like that. I had to stop listening to it because since John knew me and Wesley knew me, occasionally as I was trying to go to sleep, I would hear them talking about me, which is a very weird way to try and fall asleep. And there were guys who were busy on the repeater during the morning drive time and the afternoon drive time, but, you know, All those guys retired, moved away, or passed away. So that's the nature of things. Repeaters had their peak back in the 90s when they had, before cell phones became big and people used repeaters to patch to the phone lines over the air.
Yeah, really, it's, cell phones have done to the ham hobby what smoke detectors did to the fire department. Just cut it way down.
Okay, never really thought of it that way. Modern technology sort of does that, and time and age. You know, I've often said, you could try to interest a young kid about ham radio, and invariably they pull out a cell phone out of their back pocket and tell you that they could do all the things that we could do plus. And they don't really care about the, $150 billion of infrastructure it takes to accomplish that on their end, whereas with us it takes about $20 worth of wires.
Yeah, well, there's a certain fascination with the, with radio technology, antennas, and it's just such a vast, vast hobby.
Well, it depends on who you talk to. You talk to you or me or William, yeah. If you talk to, the average 16-year-old kid, they don't even know that their cell phone has antennas on them.
Yeah, it's true. I'm able to see at one area on my SDR. I'd be curious. It's around 854 megahertz, and it's I think it must be cell phones or something.
I'm not really familiar with the cell phone frequencies because it kind of changes every hour and a half. You know, way back in the old days, I'm sure you remember, the first cell phones were analog modulation. So if you had a radio that could tune to the frequency, you can pretty much listen in, which was kind of believed to be an invasion of privacy issue. So they passed a bunch of laws through the FCC that there isn't a general coverage receiver that will receive on the old analog cell phone frequencies. Of course, decades ago, they switched to encrypted digitalized signals. So, you could listen to the noise that you could perceive from a general coverage receiver all you want, and you wouldn't be able to make heads or tails of it.
Yes, true. So, you can, when you look at that, there's a series of closely spaced, very bright, obviously powerful, powerful signals, and there's a load of them. It's just, it's just kind of very crowded with that. So I guess that must be all the cell phone traffic. But it's digital, of course. All it is noise.
Again, not quite sure exactly where they start these days, but they've been creeping higher and higher and higher because, the higher the frequency on the downside, the bigger the free path loss. So you need a more powerful transmitter, and you need them closer together. But the flip side is the higher the frequency, the wider the bandwidth, the more data you can push through it. The inverse of that is very low frequencies, and submarines used to use, where the symbol rates have to be very low. I was talking about WWVB a couple of weeks ago, and their symbol rate is 1 bit per second at 60 kilohertz of a carrier frequency.
That's really slow. Now, these are a signal, I guess, and for all you know, it could be multiple. Multiple conversations on that one digital stream that you see there, all packed into a digital stream, essentially.
Yeah, they do all kinds of fascinating stuff that gives a lot of people headaches, quadrature, amplitude modulation, and they have even more sophisticated modes of packing in digital bits, and they can then compress them, and they could do all kinds of fun stuff with digital streams.
Yeah, I think you alluded to it. With a 5 gigahertz signal, And, you know, the antennas need to be pretty closely spaced to maintain a coverage. So, you know, there's a lot of antennas, and they're, you know, they're obviously, you know, close by.
Yeah, I mean, 5 gigahertz is the frequency that Wi-Fi, I think, 6 plus uses a lot. 2.4 is the original public frequency, then there's 5, and then the latest 7 uses, I think, another one on either 8 or 9, I forget which. And you need to pack them closer to closer together. 5G, I think, is spec to operate as high as 30 gigahertz, so you can imagine how closely packed you got to put cell towers for that.
Exactly.
Well, we really are having a quiet little time here on the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net. Let me just kind of throw out, if there's anyone out there that has any comments or any questions or what have you, don't be a stranger. Hit that push to talk and say hello. Yeah, I was kind of afraid of that. I don't know. I think we're going to save the TechNet puzzle for our next Technical Net. I don't know. It seems kind of a little bit of a lackluster night tonight.
All right, well, I won't keep you then, Roy. Thanks for running the net. And I will just say 73s when you're ready.
Thank you, Chris. I always appreciate your participation on both of the nets. Well, on all the things that I seem to be doing. So I do appreciate that. Bob, any closing comments before we call it a night?
I'm ready to call it a night personally because, as aforementioned, I'm getting up at 5:30 tomorrow morning. So, yeah, if not much is going on, we might as well close it, I guess.
Yeah, it sounds like a plan. This net has been brought to you by the Kings County Radio Club. Our club is an ARRL-affiliated club based in Brooklyn, New York, and we meet on the first Wednesday of each and every month. Our next meeting will be May 1st, which will be held by teleconference. Club members will be emailed with the details of logging into the meeting. Non-members wishing to join a general club meeting can email me, AC2GS, with some form of identification for the required link. Although our meetings informally begin after 7 p.m., our formal regular general meeting starts at 8 p.m. and continues until anywhere from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m., depending upon the number of points that are covered. We have a weekly 2-meter club net on every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. on this repeater. This technical net meets on the second and fourth Wednesday of each month at 9 p.m., and we also sponsor a 10-meter net every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock Eastern Time in and around 28.380 megahertz upper sideband. We offer an audio stream of our KC2RC repeater on the Internet, as well as our 10-meter net. Just type into your browser stream.kc2rc.com. Members as well as non-members are welcome to participate, although we do appreciate it when our fellow hams join our club, and as always, an application is readily available on our club's website. If you would like to contact the host of this technical net, simply address your email to tech@kc2rc.com. We maintain an active website at www.kingscountyradioclub.com or www.kc2rc.com, which offers archives of this technical net, amateur radio news, original articles, and technical forums. Please visit our website and participate. Our website hosting services are generously donated by a local Brooklyn-based web hosting company, 3 Aliens Web Hosting, who we would like to thank. As the great philosopher Jimi Hendrix once said, knowledge speaks, but wisdom listens. So try to listen a bit more and talk a bit less. It's time to roll this all up and shut it all down, but we'll be back to do this all over again May 8th. And you're all welcome to join us, thanks to all the people that participated tonight, especially my co-host, Bob KD2NVB. Without you guys, I would just be talking to myself. So, this is Roy AC2GS going clear and getting the heck out of here.
3 Roy, 73 everybody out there. I'll see you May 8th also.